I'll share with you from the Word of God a little bit about giving to those in need. This is no new sermon, but something I just thought it would be good for us to be reminded of, really, because we give, and we give deliberately, and we give consciously. We just don't give because for giving's sake. But the Bible promises us and teaches us that there is always a blessing behind what we do. So Proverbs 29 and verse 7, it says, "The righteous considers the cause of the poor, but the wicked does not understand such knowledge." So thank God that the righteous are here this morning. Can I get a loud amen?
Amen.
"And they consider the cause of the poor, but the wicked does not understand such knowledge." So why do we give? Let's just remind ourselves very quickly. And I'm not going to be long this morning. Number one, it's an expression of love. We don't give out of habit. We don't give because we're told to give and we just do it blindly. But we do it out of love. We've been serving here, as I said, since 2012. And, you know, we work hard every week, different people in different quarters, to express God's love to people and to recognize them, to say, hey, we're here as a people, as a church, because we recognize that you are going through difficult times, and we're here to help however we can in the little way that we can. So it's an expression of God's love. John 15 and verse 13, it says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends." So that's the greatest act of giving. And of course we know that Jesus Christ laid down his life so that you and I can be here today celebrating and fellowshipping the way that we do. Praise God. Number two, we give because God is a giver. And God the Father expects his children to be like him. The heart of a Christian is one of give. It's almost something intrinsic. It's a compulsive attitude, if you like, or impulse within that says, I've got to give. And the reason for that is because our nature has been changed. We now have God's nature. God is a giver, so his children are also givers. And we all know what John 3:16 says. Number three, we are taught to give. And that's the third reason why we give. Because we're taught to give. Not taught by me, but taught from the Word of God. Okay? To give. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 18, it says, "Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share." And this was Paul speaking to young Pastor Timothy, teaching him to teach others that they should do good, that they may be rich in good works. So you see, whatever you give comes back to you, full measure, pressed down and shaking over. And so that's an important thing for us to recognize and for us to also do. And notice the two words there, give and share. Give and share. Ready to give and willing to share. It's a mindset, it's an attitude, it's a disposition of the heart. And so therefore we give, okay, because we are taught to give. Number four, giving brings increase. Why do we give? Because giving brings increase. God's way for you to have increase in your life is to give. It's an upside down principle of God's word. The world works, 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 to get, to keep. God says, if you want to receive, my way of operation is that you give. And when you give, it will come back to you. As a matter of fact, I've got the scriptures, Luke 6:38. It says, give and it will come and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So those are just four reasons that I've listed why we give, because I want to be brief this morning. But let's remind ourselves from the book of Psalms 41, verses 1 to 3. Okay? And that chapter actually talks about the blessings of giving to the poor. Let me get my Bible and read it, because I want to say, I want to get the fullness of it. Psalm 41, verse 1 to 3. Let me get my glasses on as well. Psalm 41, verse 1 to 3. So it says, 1 to 3, that's right. Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. He will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sick bed. Now, in those three verses, it's loaded with blessings and reasons why we should give, or why we should help the poor, those who are less better off than ourselves or going through a hard time for whatever reason. But I'm going to go through that a little bit individually. First of all, it says that the Lord will deliver him in times of trouble. You want deliverance in times of trouble? The answer, give. And give with a right heart, give with a willing heart, give with the right attitude. Right? And this is not coming from me, it's coming from God's word. The Lord will deliver him in times of trouble. Isn't that good news? You know, how many of us have not been in trouble, man? And when you call upon the Lord remembers your goodness, your act of kindness. The Lord remembers what you did for those that were in hardship, those who were struggling. And the Lord says, no, I'm going to deliver. That's my son, that's my daughter. And I remember what you did. And you got my word, you got my... I mean, we serve a faithful God. God is not like man who speaks and then doesn't deliver. God will deliver and do what he said he would do. All he's looking for, church, is somebody to say, who will trust me? That's what God is looking for. Who will rest in my promises and not be concerned with everything else that may be happening around you to bring distraction? The Lord will deliver. We serve a delivering God. Amen. And that's the bottom line in my life anyway. I don't care what's happening. Well, how come this happened? How come that? No. We serve a delivering God. And that's a conclusion that's in my heart that no devil or demon can change. All right, so let's have a look at another one. The Lord will preserve him. This is all from Psalm 41, verses 1 to 3. The Lord will preserve him. The Lord will also keep him from premature death. Wow, look at that one. From premature death. Dying when you're not supposed to die. Because you have an act of kindness of giving to the poor, giving to those who are going through hardship, the Lord is saying, hey, I'm going to keep you from premature death. Can I tell you something? You don't even know the amount of times that perhaps if it wasn't for the goodness of the Lord, none of us would be here. Premature death. And I ask you with all the humility that's inside of me this morning, I ask you to do this. To not forget the goodness of the Lord in your life. When you are going through hardship, I know what it's like to be homeless. I know what it's like to be without money, to be jobless. I know what it's like to be without food. I know what it's like to be walking on the street and you see a penny and I pick it up. I've been there. And the horrible thing is that sometimes we go through hardships, we go through difficulty, we cry to the Lord, and the Lord is faithful. He answers, he delivers, but then we forget. That was a tragedy of the children of Israel. Reading the scriptures over and over and over and over again, because you know I've challenged myself to read through the Bible, and so far I've done it almost 5 times this year. And when I read about the children of Israel, tears come to my eye, because time and time again they forget the faithfulness of God, they forget what God has done, and they go back to foolishness like a dog that returns to its vomit. And that makes my heart sad. And when I read it, I say, Lord, I'll never do that. So I say, Lord, you can count on me. No matter what happens, Lord, I will serve you. No matter what, Lord, I will praise you. No matter what, Lord, as long as you give me breath, I will preach your word. I will do what you have called me to do. You know, and that's the attitude that we ought to have, because we serve a good God who's looking out for us at all times. Even when it seems like he's not looking out for us, he's looking out for us. All right. The Lord will bless him on the earth. And by the way, you know, the word blessed, like the psalm starts off by saying, blessed is he who considers the poor. The word blessed means empowered to prosper. So you're not just empowered to exist, but to prosper. God wants you to prosper. Do me a favor. Turn to your neighbor, somebody beside you or around you, and say to two or three people this morning, God wants to prosper you. Say to somebody else, God wants to prosper you. He wants to prosper you. No matter how it seems, no matter how it looks, verses if you don't know how long, God wants to prosper you. Listen, he's working everything out, and in the end, it will speak. Church, in the end, it will speak. And you're going to let the devil know. And one of the ways you let the devil know is by praising him. In your home, you praise him. You cry upon him. You talk to him. You tell him how much you love him, right? And then you just bless him. Lift up your hands and bless him. When we come together, we should be free to lift our hands up and to open our mouths and to bless the Lord, because he is worthy of our praise. Not because we're told to do it, but because we want to do it. Because our heart's disposition is to lift up the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Lord will bless him. You bless God and God will bless you. The Lord will bless him on the earth. Not in heaven, not in the future, on the earth, in your now. Lord. The Lord will deliver him from the will of his enemies. I don't even need to comment on that one. You got enemies, by the way. Yeah. If you're a Christian, you have enemies. So here's a promise from God. The Lord will deliver him from your enemies. Why? Because you consider the poor. Why? Because you're giving, and you're giving with the right attitude. The Lord will strengthen him while he is sick. Wow. Strengthen him while he is sick. But look at the next one. The Lord will sustain him from sickness. I did look this up, but guess what? I didn't. Anyway, I wrote it somewhere else and I didn't bring it. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. The Lord will strengthen him while he is sick, and the Lord will sustain him from sickness. So there were two different times. There were times when... Is there anybody here who has never been sick? No hands? So everybody has been sick. Okay? And at times, as Christians, I know I have, and I felt God strengthen me. And, you know, whether or not you recognize it as God, the Lord says he will strengthen you whilst you're not well. Okay? You can look at it that way. But also, the Lord will sustain him from sickness. Okay? The Lord will keep you at times, all right, when you trust him, from sickness. Don't get confused. There are times when we do get sick, whether it's a flu, whether it's a headache, whether it's whatever it may be, or even worse. But the Lord said he will strengthen you while you're going through that. Okay? You know that sometimes we've got to go through some things. I'm not being negative now, but you've got to understand this, otherwise you get confused. I know, strengthen me from sickness, keep me, sustain me from sickness, but keep me while I'm sick. It's not a contradictory in terms, you just got to have a little bit of understanding. Because again, you don't know how much sickness would have been upon your body if he wasn't sustaining you. You don't know that. You see, what we fail to understand sometimes is that behind the scenes, we've got a good God who's looking out for our interests and fighting our battles. And that's why we've got to bless him. The scripture says, in everything and at all times, you got to do that. Because, and that's why, by the way, Romans 12 verse 3, every woman is given a measure of faith. Because you're going to need faith while you are living on this earth to go through some things and to go through it the way that God wants you to go through it. Okay? And you're going to need it. That's why God gives us that. And then Hebrews 11 verse 6 tells us that without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. And that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So I've got to have faith to please God. I've got to have faith to do the will of God. See, what you're going through now is not, come on, man, we talked about the valley. We talked about, for 2 weeks on a Thursday, we talked about the Good Shepherd from Psalm 23. And we said sometimes you're going through the valley. We said it's last Thursday. Sometimes a shepherd leads his sheep through the valley. A dark place. A place where enemies are. For the sheep. A place where the terrain is not good. It's not good for your feet. It's not good for the shepherd's feet. It's not good for the sheep's feet. But it's a way that they've got to go. You've got to go through it. And sometimes God will lead you in a path that seems like it's unpalatable, not favorable. But you've got to go through it, church, to get to the other end. But oh, when you get to the other end, oh, what the good news. Oh, the rejoicing. Oh, the blessing. And I'm going to say this, when God begins now to bless you, because we're in that season now where, you know this, we've been talking about it, there's a challenge, there's an attack, an assault that's coming from the pits of hell onto believers, but there is a God who is shepherding His people and keeping His people. And remember the three P's? I think PJ found up two more. Remember the three P's that we talked about last two Thursdays? First one was? Provision. Second one? Protection, third one, from the promises of God, and then PJ found two more. Presence and preparation. Was it preparation? And there's more. If you look, you'll find more. So well done, you know, with that. But we've got so much. What the Lord is saying, really, what I'm saying, I suppose, is that the Lord has provided for us everything that we need. As a matter of fact, 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 says that. That God has provided everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. Everything that we need. For your living, your daily living, as well as your spiritual well-being. And so we have no excuse. And we have a great God to give God thanks to. Now, five things very quickly to do whilst you are giving. You want your giving to be blessed, because please understand this. Not every giving is blessed. Because God just doesn't look on the outward thing. Thank God for the outward thing that's done, but He's looking from the heart. Where is it coming from? Where is it coming from? Have you given, but you're giving grudgingly? No blessing there. Let's have a look at some scripture. Give willingly from the heart. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 8. Because of time, I want to read it now. But verse 7 says, one of the things we should do whilst we're giving is to give willingly. Not with compulsion, okay? Or not grudgingly. Number two, not grudgingly. Still in verse 7. Okay? Not out of compulsion and not grudging. We've never forced anybody here to give this morning. We just announced it. And we said, and I put out a reminder, just to remind you, because sometimes I know we get busy and we sort of forget. But thank God, you've got a heart of giving, and that's why you brought this morning. I believe. I said, I believe. You've got a good heart, and that's why you remembered to do it, and that's why you did it. You know, whatever you let me not get distracted, but whatever you make your priority, okay, your chief, whatever is up there, okay, God sees. He knows what your priority is, and He sees your heart and where it's coming from. So, five things to do whilst giving: give willingly from the heart. Do not give grudgingly. Number three, do not give out of compulsion. This is why I do not like, and I don't like when I hear ministers stand up and forcing people to give, and telling them that they must give and how much they must give and whatever else. I don't like it, because that's a compulsive type of giving. You're forcing somebody to do something that maybe they can't even afford to do. And sometimes some churches call people up to the front and then they pinpoint people and do that kind of thing, pulling them out and telling them that they must give and they must give how much and whatever else. You can't do that. How do you know that person can even afford to? Maybe the person could barely get to the service. And I've heard pastors say that. Dr. Frederick Price years ago, talked about the very same thing. He didn't have even petrol to put in his car to get to church when he started his ministry. So it's not good to give out of compulsion. We do not teach that because the Bible does not teach that. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches against it. Number four, we give cheerfully. Be happy while you're giving. You cannot give cheerfully from your heart, but let that disposition be on your face as well. Okay? Sorry. I just saw that. Let me go back. Yeah, give cheerfully. Note the benefits in verses 6 and 8. Okay? You reap bountifully. When you give cheerfully, you reap bountifully. And number 2, sufficiency in all things. You will have sufficiency in all things. So, what we do as Christians now, we say, Lord, in our prayer, this is why God said, my word will not return to him void. Because he's believing that when you come to him in prayer and you say, Lord, you said, or your word says, that Lord, I will have sufficiency in all things. That's you taking back God's word to him, but in faith, not complaint, not moaning, but in faith, believing for sufficiency in all things. So when you're going through lack or times of lack or times when you don't have everything else, church, I've learned this the hard way, and I'm just going to tell you plain and straight. Make God your source, not man. Did you hear that? Because that's what God is looking for anyway. If you're looking for people for handouts on people, sometimes you'll never get it. Okay? But look to God. He's your source. He's your provider. All right, let me flick on. So we should give cheerfully, but we should also show dignity and respect whilst you're giving. And this is one thing that we emphasize with the food bank, because we know it's not easy for people to come and to ask for help, to get help. And so we show dignity and respect while we're giving. James 2, 1 to 9, you can read. It says more about that. So what can I do? Well, these are some steps that you can do, some things that you can do if you're not already doing it. Number one, pray about your giving. The time when we take up the offering, it's not just a ritual that we go through, because it's a very important time, and a lot of churches demean the giving time, the collection time, the time when we give. It's not to be demeaned. It's to be lifted up, and it's to be honored, because it's a type of worship. Okay? And when you do that correctly, God honors you. Okay? Pray about your giving. Don't just drop a £5 or £1 in the collection thing. We don't even do that anymore, do we? But pray about it. Lord, how much do you want me to give, Lord? What do you want me to release from my bank account? What do you want to release today, Lord, as I give? And you'd be surprised sometimes how the Holy Spirit will drop some things on you. And sometimes it's happened to me where the Holy Spirit will tell you an amount that is above the amount that maybe you have preconceived in your mind. And I've heard many people talk about this, and sometimes I've been there where sometimes you argue with God now and say, "Whoa, no, that's too much, Lord. You know, I think I'll cut that down." But then there's a pudum, pudum. there's a witness inside me that says, no, this is what you got to do. And if you've got to do it, then you've got to do it. And please keep in mind that God is never out to subtract something from you. Okay? If he asks something of you, it's because he has more to give to you. So there's always a blessing in giving. But pray about it. Number two, decide to give or to increase your giving. Don't just plateau your giving, but decide to give, to start to give in a particular area, or to Joy and I, we don't just give here in church, and we do, of course, but we give elsewhere, and we look at times for who can I bless, or where can my giving be of a blessing. So we look and decide to give or to increase giving. All right, and you should do the same. Check your motive. Oh God, that's so important. Because you could do all these things and get everything right, but guess what? Your motive, man, is the thing that brings it back down. Because your motive was wrong. Why am I doing it? Am I doing it to show off, oh, look how much I gave? No, you shouldn't do that. And if that's your motive, there's no blessing there. So you've got to check your motive. Why am I doing this? I'm doing this from the goodness of my heart because I want to be a blessing to others, and I know that the Lord will bless me. Number four, take action. What kind of action? Speak to someone. Take action. Finances. Gifts. Your talents. What gifts and what talents have you got that you've not given to your church? You've not given to others. Your time. If you're too busy, and sometimes we have to unbusy ourselves. And we're living in such a time now that, people might not like hearing this, but we live in such a time now that you've got to reprioritize your life and your time and where you spend it. You've got to reprioritize because the things of the kingdom should always be first. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things will be added to you. See, it's there in the word. And if we just take time to do that, then we will put ourselves on the right track where God at some point will bless. Okay? Your church. Take action with your church. The ministries. Whatever ministries they are. Okay? Including the food bank. Don't just dissect yourself away from. At the moment, the food bank is the only outreach ministry at the moment that we have operating. You know? So it'll be good for people to say, well, you know what, let me reprioritize my schedule and come out and help and support if you're not already doing that. And speak to some people that are there. Just look at your time, your schedule, and pray about it and let God help you as you move forward. So thank you for your contributions to our harvest service today. And these items, I am sure, will be a blessing to many people as we move down the road. Let's bow our heads in prayer, shall we?